Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
It's Drew Tignanelli here on Money, Riches, and Wealth, but not in studio. Chris is, but I'm not. I'm being a good boy following Governor Hogan's rules. Christopher, how are you?
That's good, sir. We appreciate that. And I'm doing fine on this ordinary day in Baltimore and America, right?
it's funny. You know, this side loses the election 4 years ago. They go crazy, and everybody sits back and says, you know, you got to let them do what they're going to do. This year, this time, this side loses the election. They go crazy, and everyone's like, you got to stop this immediately. I mean, you know, people are such a bunch of hypocrites. It's not funny, but they should stop immediately. It's bizarre what they're doing. And I give Trump credit. He has at least told them to go home, and he's even ready to call out the National Guard if they don't.
Yeah, so there's just we hope to bring peace and calm with financial advice. At least in the realm of financial advice, we can be somewhat calm. Although markets react to this, right?
Yeah, so they do to some degree, but you right. know, you saw, people kept saying to us, Chris, oh, if Biden gets elected, the world's coming to an end. Oh, if the election goes into chaos, the world's right. coming. Oh, if Trump doesn't leave office, the market's going to go through, you know, but you know, so far, it's like we said, no, you don't understand how markets operate, obviously, if you're sitting around worried about those kind of things.
And as we're just writing in the last couple of days, that for the fourth quarter, depending on your portfolio type, but between 50 and 100% of your gain for the full year came in the fourth quarter.
Sure. Which was, you know, two-thirds of that was after everyone knew that Biden won the election. And it had nothing to do with Biden winning the election or Trump winning the election.
Right.
It had everything to do with the fact that the markets were relieved that the Federal Reserve has continued to keep interest rates low, keep money supply growing, that people were going back to work, that the economy was picking up steam despite the risk. People were going back to work and picking up the steam, and then you get a vaccine that's 95% effective. No yep. one anticipated that at right. all. It has nothing to do with Biden. You know, if he's as foolish as Trump to take credit for it, it would be a big mistake.
Right, but then, you know, presidents do that, and that's
that's why they presidents
of all presidents of all stripes. Presidents of all stripes. Yep. And so so anyway, we've got an open show. If you're just tuning in, we encourage you to call in 922-6680, and as Drew often says, just make the show about your questions. And you'd be the guest. Just call up. Right now, we don't have anyone else on the line. So we've got a few minutes before we have to take a break for traffic. So please call in 410-922-6680. In the meantime, we always have things we can talk about.
Yeah, Chris. If somebody wants to call and talk about the things going on there, feel free in Washington. Feel free. We'll address that. But, you know, I've got news, and I gave it to Sean this morning. And that is that I have put a contract and have been accepted on a house in Amelia Island, Florida, which is in the northeast quadrant near Jacksonville, just south of Georgia. And, you know, because I practice what I preach, you know. I tell my clients, you know, if you can move out of state and, you know, but, you know, that you should do it. There's an economic advantage to doing it. So I'm not going to move completely out of the state. I'm going to probably be 70% of the time out of state of Maryland. And, you know, I
But not scaling back in work at all. It's just the right.
Not at all, because you know the beauty of one of the things coronavirus has done on the positive side is work from home and work remotely. And if you have the option now to work anywhere in the country with clients, why would you sit in a state like Maryland, where the politicians give you no appreciation whatsoever? They're driving us out, and we might as well leave. But here's the point, Chris. Leaving Maryland is not a simple process. You must do it legally, you must do it right, and you must keep good records of how you do it. And there's two key words.
And
domicile and residence.
And we're going to talk more about that. We've got Dave in Glen Burnie. We're going to go to him real fast, see if we can get a call in before we have to take a break. David, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was just curious about you hear about these new investing companies like Robinhood and several other ones. And I have never invested before. Would you suggest do stuff like that, or should I practice first, or what would you suggest?
Well, Robinhood is nothing more than a brokerage firm, Dave. So it's just like going to Schwab or going to Vanguard or going to Fidelity to trade stocks. There's really no difference of them.
Except some people say just by the way they present it on the screen, you're more apt to basically try to trade versus invest. You know, you're gambling more almost.
Yeah, you never want to trade stocks, Dave. You want to buy great companies and learn to hold them for a long period of time. If you think you're going to buy that Tesla that goes up tenfold in 1 year or whatever investment, you know, you're making a serious mistake that's going to hurt you long term.
Right, right. So, and that's what I should think about too, isn't it? Long term, like buy and then just hold on to it. Am I right with that?
Yeah, companies. Okay. You know, my aunt is not a knowledgeable investor in any way, shape, or form, but she has an eye for companies, and she liked Costco. She always liked Costco, always went, and so she bought Costco. She liked Facebook. She liked what you could do on Facebook, so she bought Facebook. And my aunt, and she's been pretty darn successful over the years.
Oh my God! But should I do a little homework first in the companies? I would imagine, right?
Well, you can do homework. It just depends on what you're thinking about. Why are you? What type of homework are you doing? I mean, as Peter Lynch always said, buy on Wall Street what you really like on Main Street. And if you know that you like it and a lot of your friends like it and there isn't anything like it, then buy it and hold on to it.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you.
David, thanks for calling. We've got to take a break here. We're going to move on to traffic. And Alex, if you'd stay with us through the break or catch us right on the other side of it, we'll come to you. Let's go to traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, we are back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Chris O'Shea with Drew Tignanelli. And we're going to go to Alex in West Friendship. And in the meantime, we have several open phone lines, 922-6680. Just give us a call. Ask your question on anything financial related. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about capital gains. So I am about to sell a significant amount of stock that's going to result in about $50,000 worth of capital gains. But I'm not taking that money out. So, meaning I want to roll it over, I want to rebalance my portfolio, put it in some other stocks, reallocate some things into various funds. So, is there something that I can do or other options to, I want to say, avoid the capital gains tax, but not in an illegal sense? But what are my options instead of writing a $50,000 check to the federal government next year for the capital gains? What can I do?
So let me just make sure I understand, Alex. So you said your capital gain was going to be 50, or the actual tax that you're projecting will be 50,000?
So the actual tax on the gains will be 50,000.
And you also live in Maryland. Did you project Maryland's 8-9% they're going to want in addition?
I'm including that in the 50,000.
Okay. There's really nothing you can do. Reinvesting money in stocks does not defer the gain. It is what it is. If you take the gain, you pay the tax on it. There are some unique things you can do, like opportunity zone funds to defer the gain, but you would have to put the entire gain, which in your situation, you're talking about somewhere around $250,000, $300,000 in gain.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably $200,000 in gain because you did include Maryland in on that. It'd be around $200,000 a gain you'd have to put into an opportunity zone fund to defer the gain, but only until 2026. I don't necessarily know that there's a great advantage to that for you.
Right. So I am familiar with those funds. What I was curious is there anything else out there that that would either defer the capital gains tax or reduce it
no.
to some degree?
The only thing you can do is during the year is just monitor your portfolio, and any time you can take a tax loss and harvest tax losses, you could help drive down that. But, hopefully you don't ever have them, But if some reason you did, you could do tax swaps and harvest the losses if it's possible. For example, if you own Toyota Motors Company and all of a sudden Toyota Motors takes a drop with the market like it did in March of last year, you swap it for Honda Motors Company and assume that Honda is going to do as well or close to as well as Toyota. 30 days later, you can buy your Toyota back. But that's the only thing I could think of. Can you think of anything else, Chris?
No, the opportunity zones, but that's a dramatic step.
Yeah.
As you were saying.
You also run the risk that the Democrats raise capital gains tax between now and 2026, and you pay even more.
Correct. So, right. At least you know what's the tax that you you have right now.
Yeah.
Is limited.
There is nothing, Alex, that I can think of. If I were familiar with it, I'd let you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if I find something out, I'll give you guys a call back.
Yeah. Well, it would be a first that, we could find something that we weren't familiar with that would allow us to lower a client's taxes. I'm just not familiar with it. Especially if you want to make the other investments. Now, for example, we have investments where if a client owns, let's say, a lot of McCormick & Company, have owned it for years and years with gains, instead of selling it, they donate it into a mutual fund of other highly concentrated positions. And now what happens is the client doesn't pay taxes, but they now diversify their concentrated portfolio in their hands with a bunch of other concentrated stocks from other clients, in essence giving them a diversified pool of securities instead of all their money in one basket. But that's a whole different thing.
What happens,
you're talking about.
What happens to the basis for the McCormick
stock? Basis gets transferred into the new fund. So let's say I have a client with a lot of Microsoft and a lot of Tesla and a lot of McCormick & Company and a lot of, you know, 20 other big companies, and all these clients have donated. So now instead of having just McCormick, I now have McCormick and I have a piece of Facebook and I have a piece of Tesla, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, my basis goes into the mutual fund, the new mutual fund. There's no tax consequences to donate it in there. But now inside that fund, if there's ever anything sold in there, those gains are going to be reported out to me, allocated to me proportionally.
Interesting. Okay, so if I can make one more comment. I have a lot of friends and acquaintances who are in cryptocurrency. And so recently with the rise of the value of Bitcoin, everyone is looking at their cryptocurrency portfolios and they're looking at the significant capital gains taxes if they currently sell from one crypto and switch to another, or sell to cash out and buy a car, buy a house, or whatever they're going to do with it. So there's a lot of people looking for advice in situations as to what to do with the capital gains on the cryptocurrency side, as well as the regular stock market side, because, you know, the stock market's at an all-time high for a lot of stocks right now.
Yeah, and the cryptocurrency thing is a fascinating concept, and it causes some unique issues for people. One of the things that some people with cryptocurrencies are thinking of doing is trying to hide their trades, and that's a danger that they should be very, very fearful of ever trying to do, because the IRS is getting much better at monitoring that. Others are thinking, well, I'll just use it to buy things, and when I buy things with it, I buy at the higher prices. Now you have to be extremely careful, because now you could do away with any, you know, you would have to pay gains on those purchases that you're doing, but if for any reason you had a loss, you'd never be able to take a loss again on that cryptocurrency. So, you know,
right.
I understand what you're saying, but that's part of the game. If you buy and you want to get out, you know, you're going to have to pay to get out.
Right. Okay.
And it sounds Democrats want you to pay even more. So be prepared. You might want to take your 23% plus Maryland 30% tax rate and be happy. Because if Joe has his way, he's talking about 48%.
Right.
You know?
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah.
Now, let's hope not. Remember that when Ronald Reagan came into office, his capital gains rate was 50%. That's what he reduced it to.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right?
Okay.
So, anyway, all right?
Well, good. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Alex, great call. Thanks for calling in.
We got to go to traffic, Chris.
Yeah, we're getting close to do that. So I'm going to look to the other Chris and see if he's going to give me a nod. We can go to traffic. So we're just going to be a couple minutes, though. So call in. We've got open phone lines. 922-6680 is the number here. Call in with your questions. In the meantime, we are going to go to traffic.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, and we are back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Chris O'Shea with Drew Tignanelli. And so we on the one week on, one week off. You get Mike McCarthy sometimes. You get Chris O'Shea sometimes. But you get Drew all the time. So we have open phone lines. 922-6680 is the number. 410-922-6680. Drew, before we had the phone calls, we were talking about the things and the steps needed in order to change your residence from Maryland to something else, even if you live here part-time.
Yeah, it's very, it's far more complicated. You know, so often, Chris, I talk to somebody and they go, yeah, 6 months in a day, 6 months in a day. Well, let me tell you something. There's a great case that I read a few years ago where a guy was claiming Texas residency.
Right, yep.
And New York came after him and ultimately won the case. because for 2 years, a year and a half, he left his dog in New York, where he would go back occasionally and visit and so forth. But finally, after about 2 years, he said, okay, send Buddy out to, you know, to here to be with me, because I've decided, you know, that it's now time. I'm going to stay here. And New York used that because it proved that he hadn't disassociated himself with New York completely. His heart was still there. And that's what the word domicile means. Where's your heart? And New York used that and won the case. And he owed him back taxes because of that specific issue.
Right. So, where are you doing life? Where are you doing life? Where are you registered to vote? Where is your driver's license?
And all of that is great.
Yep.
Because, you know, obviously a judge and an IRS agent or a state agent can't get into your heart to figure out where your heart is. So they use these objective things. Where's your main religious affiliation? Where's your memorabilia of your family? Where's your dog?
Yep.
Where's your wife live? Where's your antique, family heirloom furniture and things? Where's your driver's license? Where are you voting? These are all the things, but trust me, if anybody from Maryland's listening, my heart is leaving Maryland, I can assure you.
Your heart left Maryland years ago. You're just finally doing it.
I'm doing it physically and emotionally. Yep. Trust me, and I'm doing it legally, and I'm doing it, and I want to encourage all clients to learn how to do it legally, because, Maryland, like New York and California, are starting to get their shackles up and say, hey, we need to keep our claws in these people because they're the ones with the money that we want to continue to get.
Right, so it can work because the firm is not leaving, so we'll be here. So anytime that you're away, you'll just call in via Zoom, which we're all doing now anyway. Who knows if you're at the office or if you're at home. And so we'll be there eventually when office opens back up, and we'll still all be there, and you're still doing the things that you've always done.
And any profit from the consulate for operations in Maryland will still be paying Maryland taxes.
Yep.
But any salary that I receive, I can split between any time I'm physically in Maryland to when I'm in Florida. But the key is I have to truly domicile and take up residency. And that's the other word, residency. Residency is a little more complicated. Well, not that domicile, where's your heart, is pretty darn complicated.
A little fuzzy.
Residency is another one. Residency basically says, where are you actually physically living? Where are you affiliated? So in New York, they're actually arguing that if you have a physical residence in New York and you're there for at least 90 days, they have a legal right to one quarter at the minimum of your income, if not 100% of your income. It has nothing to do with where your heart is even there. It has to do with their opinion of residency, and there's where the complications all start coming in. What does the state say about residency? What does the state say about domicile? And how do you make sure that you're not running amok of either of them?
Right, because New York
is
losing.
It's far more complicated.
Right, New York keeps raising taxes, and they keep losing residents, either full time or part time, and so they're trying to, claw back.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting question. Let's say somebody is thinking, okay, Sean asked this question this morning. Let's say you're thinking, okay, I'm 3, 4, 5 years maximum away from retirement. And I assure you, I am not going to retire in Maryland because it's not a tax-friendly state, okay? Now, here's the key question, Chris. Yeah, Maryland's not a tax-friendly state, but everyone thinks that Florida's a tax-friendly state. Florida's a very tax-friendly state if what your main taxes you pay are income taxes. Florida is no benefit to you if your income taxes in Florida are similar to Maryland, and a lot of people who make less than $100,000 in retirement, they're going to find that their Maryland income tax is not that high compared to their Florida, you know, property taxes, sales taxes. In other words, you're not going to save a lot of money moving to Florida if you don't have a lot of taxable income, because Maryland excludes your Social Security
income. Yep.
Maryland excludes your pension up to $31,000, you know, minus whatever Social Security you receive. Maryland gives you a couple other deductions that, you know, your overall Maryland tax, if you're only making $100,000, might only be $3,000 or $4,000 a year. You know, when you lose the Maryland homestead exemption credit, you know, which you have to give up. Keep that in mind too.
Yep.
You can't tell Maryland that this is your primary residence when you're also telling them that you're no longer a Maryland resident. You know, so when you put that all together and look at the property taxes, the homeowners insurance costs in Florida and things of that sort, if you don't have high income, you're not going to be benefited by moving to Florida. But you know what state you would want to move to would be Delaware.
Right.
Why Delaware? Well, because their income tax is about 20% lower than Maryland. So whatever you end up paying Maryland, you're going to pay 20% or so less than Delaware, but your property taxes are going to be probably at minimum half of what you're paying to Maryland, and they have no sales tax. It's a big win for a person making under $100,000 to move to a state like Delaware when you looking to minimize taxes. So you got to be smart about this. You can't just assume that Florida is the place to go. Now, you might go there because you like warm weather. That's a totally different story.
Sure. That's right. Exactly right. So, yeah, you know, again, the bigger picture is if you do have options and you're thinking about someplace else, some people are going to say, well, you know, I know Maryland isn't tax-friendly, but I can't see moving away from family, whatever that is. Or maybe you move across the border to Delaware. Or maybe you move across. You work here. You get the deduction putting money into 403Bs or 401Ks. And then you move to Pennsylvania, which Drew doesn't. Of course, we don't like it because there's some estate things going on there. You move to Pennsylvania. You take it all out, and it's tax-free. So, again, certain circumstances can work for different folks there. We have open lines, 922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. Get on the line and give us a call and ask your question.
Yeah, so that's going to love to have people call in and talk about this, because there's a lot of topics in this concept of moving that we haven't even addressed. So 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question, as opposed to just listening to us talk about the things that we feel are important. But, you know, you made a great point about Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a great state. You get all of your IRAs and 401Ks income, 100% income tax-free in Pennsylvania when you withdraw it. But on the negative side of Pennsylvania, you have all these municipalities up there. Yep. That nickel and dime the living heck out of you.
Right.
And if you pick the wrong municipality to live in, you may not get any benefit of living in Pennsylvania. You got to be very careful of the municipality to live in, and you don't want to die there, because Pennsylvania is one of the last, I think it is the last state in the United States of America that still has an inheritance tax on children. You know, normally, most states, even Maryland, still has an inheritance tax, but they don't have one for children.
Right, lineal heirs, sure.
Lineal heirs, and
right.
Grandchildren, and so forth. Pennsylvania takes foreign. My mother lives in Pennsylvania. When she passes, 4.5% of our inheritance will go to the state of Pennsylvania because they said so.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Okay, well, hold that thought. The clock is ticking, and as it prompts us again, we have to break away and update folks on traffic. So we're going to do that. Stay with us and give us a call in if we have several open phone lines, but stay with us, and we'll be right back after we check with traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back.
We are back. Welcome to Wealth Advice. Chris O'Shea with Drew Tignanelli. Drew, there's a teed up one for you. It's a softball. The song, the group.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to Brian then. But in the meantime, if you want to call 922-6680, 410-922-680, get on the line, ask your question. Brian and Glenn Burney's got a question here on Social Security. Brian,
yes,
how are you?
How are you guys doing?
Doing fine, thanks.
I've been meaning to get in contact with you guys for a while. The deal is I work for the railroad, and we don't pay Social Security. It's railroad retirement we pay into.
Right.
So for 25 years I've been there, and I've been told that if I'm on disability right now, I'm totally out of surprise 2 years ago. So they put me on this occupational disability. But, of course, they're going to have me see their doctors and our doctors see my urologists and a whole mess and the whole, you know what I mean?
Right.
The long story short is what I'm trying to figure out is would it be easier for me to just, they said that I would bring them $3,700 a month on the occupational disability, or do I just go early retirement because I heard it was the average of your best 5 years of working there. Is that correct?
Well, there's two pieces to the railroad retirement, Brian. So you've got the one that works very much like Social Security, and that's basically the top 35,
okay?
And then you've got a second piece that's very much like a pension, and that one's like the top five, okay? So
right. You
got to know which piece is which to be able to answer the question. If you have the ability to go on disability, you are always better to go on disability. I don't even have to look at the numbers because disability is going to treat you, if you're qualified, it's going to treat you as if you were at your full retirement age with no discount whatsoever.
Well, that's the way it's been for a while now. Paperwork that they sent, it's a mile high, and it's, of course, me seeing their doctors next.
It's never easy. It's never fun, my friend, but it's in your best interest to continue to persevere if you truly have a
disability. Just keep on riding it out and have my urologist keep filling out papers and just go with the flow.
You know, I don't know your situation is what's going on. I pray that, you know, things get better for you, but if you're confident...
It hasn't been figured out. I've even been to Johns Hopkins. They cannot figure out what is wrong with me. I have a team of urologists that's been for 2 years now, and they can't figure out, not cancer, it's not anything like that. They cannot diagnose.
Well, then I would continue to persevere because you're going to get the most with disability. Rather than early retirement, you'll hurt yourself if you do that.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Brian. All right. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
God bless.
You too, yeah. Okay, we've got...
Yeah, that's a difficult one.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Yeah. We've got Rob in Mount Washington has a question about selling stock. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hi. Drew, just want to get your insight. Are you guys when to sell stock that's gained? Let me just give you a round number example, and you'll get what I'm asking about. Let's say I bought a stock at 100, and this happened real time with this last few months. Let's say now it's 200, so there's a $100 gain, and it's short term. Now, if I sold it and I get pay a 30% tax, that $100 gain is really only $70 in my pocket, right?
Right.
So it's actually as if I sold the stock at 170. You know, I didn't really sell it at 200. I sold it. I'm only getting 70 in my pocket. Now, let's say, and there's a lot of stocks right now. That's what's happening with a bunch of these high-tech flyers. They went way up. They're going to pull partly back, and they are right now. But they're not going out of business. I'm not talking about the ones that are going to flop and go out of business. I'm talking about the ones that are going to last.
Right.
Okay? Trade Desk, Etsy, that kind of stuff, they're going to be around. But they flew way too high. Now they're pulling back, and they'll reach a new level, and then they'll go back up. So the question is, how do you think about, you know, if you think it's going to pull back, let's say, 50%, which still leaves you with a 50% gain, right? Let's say you bought it at 100, it went to 200, now it's 150. That's still a nice gain within short term. Do you think about selling it or just hold it on through the dip back till it levels back off and goes back up? Do you think of just kind of holding on to that kind of stock long term, or do you try to sell it on the way down before it really drops all the way to 150? Let's say it's gone from 200 to 185. You know, but you think it's going down lower.
Let's talk about
what I'm saying. There's a lot of stocks like this right now.
Let's talk about the problem. The problem is that you've made the assumption that the stock's going to go down by 50%. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. But if you're wrong and you sell it, you know, you're never going to get back in. And what you have to do is understand why you believe you have a great company. Why you believe that there's not a lot of competition that's going to impact them, and why you're going to continue to hold it. If you're not confident of that, but you're fairly confident, then you know maybe sell some and look for another place to invest it in. But you know the problem that most people mistake they make is they assume that the market or the stock is going to drop a certain amount, and then they're going to pay taxes but buy it back at such a low price, they're going to make even more money by buying it back on the dip. And yet what will happen a lot of times is it never dips, and there you are holding the bag paying the taxes. So it's better that you understand, why do I own this company and why do I believe it's going to be a great company going forward? And if you can do that, then you just don't worry about the dips.
I mean, just ride. In that case, just ride through it.
Sure.
It'll eventually flatten out and come back up in the long run.
Look at Tesla. You know, the people who every time they thought it was going to drop, if they would have sold, they would have made a real fool out of themselves. You know, so you know it. You have to understand. Now, I'm not saying we don't own Tesla. It's a difficult company to own. Though I do think they make great cars. But it's not impossible to make another electric car. But that's just my opinion, you know. But I got to admit, every client that owns a Tesla wants to buy stock in the company.
Right.
They love their Tesla so much.
Okay.
So, but that's the kind of stuff you have to think about.
You do, Rob. Thanks for the call. We've got a couple callers waiting. We're trying to get them in before the end of the show. But have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Okay. We next have Cindy. She's calling from Severna Park. She's talking about leaving Maryland. Cindy, what can we do for you?
Hi. I just wanted to know, as far as with a federal pension when you retire, what's better, Delaware or South Carolina? Moving to either one of those states.
Delaware, it depends. Is your total income as a family or as an individual going to be over or under $100,000?
Under.
Under. So, you know, Delaware probably has a slight advantage, but South Carolina is very competitive because they eliminate income taxes a good bit, because you'll probably pay very little or no income tax in South Carolina. And South Carolina's property taxes are fairly low. It's the difference, though, is they do have a sales tax, and depending on what county you're in, it could be a little high. Well, if you want to research the taxes in any state, Cindy, I recommend the website retirementliving.com. Retirementliving.com. And you click on, when you pull that site up, it says, are you a professional or not? And you say, no, I'm not. And when you go in, there should be a link on the right side that says taxes, state-by-state comparison. Or you can just Google search that. Taxes, state-by-state comparison, retirementliving.com. And it'll probably pull you right to that page. And you can read everything about any tax that any state you're going to move to will hit you with.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
But in your situation, do you like warmer weather or do you like the Maryland type weather?
I actually like cold weather.
Well, then sure. Delaware would be, you know, you'd stay up here in Delaware. That'd be a great state, because unless you like really cold, then I'd go to New Hampshire. New Hampshire is an incredible state to live in. No income taxes, no sales taxes. And property taxes are pretty darn cost-effective up there.
Okay. All right. But really, Delaware and South Carolina are pretty comparable as far as property taxes and if you're retired and you're drawing a federal pension.
Delaware is going to beat you in sales tax and property tax in South Carolina, but South Carolina is going to eliminate a lot of your income tax and still give you a reasonable property tax and a reasonable sales tax.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, Cindy, thanks for calling. Right. Jim, stay with us. We're going to catch you after we get off the air because we're out of time, Drew.
Well, it's just like it is.
Right.
And you have a good guest, Chris.
Sure. Yeah, we've had a lot of good questions, good guests for this. So go ahead, Drew, take it away.
All right. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. I know things are gonna be just fine if you only feel what I'd like to do to you. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna